my name is Meg Hunter-Kilmer, and welcome to Enkindle Family Scripture Reflections. Today we'll be looking at the readings for Pentecost of 2022. That's June 5th, 2022. Let's go ahead and begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we worship you, praise you for your presence among us. We thank you, Lord God, that you have claimed us as children of the Father, that you dwell in us, that you lead us, guide us, and transform us. And we pray that as we dive into the scriptures you inspired today, you will open our hearts to long more fully for our relationship with you, that you would cast out any spirit of selfishness or cynicism, anything that keeps us from belonging entirely to you, Holy Spirit. We ask you to fill our hearts, to draw us to the heart of Jesus, to the throne of the Father. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, friends, if you are following along with our scriptures this week, it's a little bit confusing. Pentecost is one of the most important days in the entire liturgical year. And because of that, we have two different masses for Pentecost. There's a vigil mass and there's a mass during the day, and they have entirely different readings. And even within those readings, we have so many different options. What a gift that the Lord invites us to enter into scripture in this way. And those who are preparing for mass are able to look at all of these different readings. Now, we're not going to examine every single one of the readings. We're going to focus today on the readings for the Mass during the day. So it'll be the actual story of Pentecost from Acts of the Apostles. We're going to look at Psalm 104 at the second reading option for the second reading, Romans 8:8 to 17, and then at the first option for the Gospel, John 20:19 to 23. Pentecost, of course, celebrates the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles. It's a celebration, an exulting in the person of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, the one who we're filled with in baptism, the one who drives us, who inspires us, the one who makes it possible for us to pray, the one who makes us sons and daughters of God in our baptism, fills us with his gifts in our confirmation. The Holy Spirit doesn't get all of the attention that he maybe should get, given that if you are walking with the Lord, the Spirit should be moving in your life every single day. And if we were reading the readings for the Vigil Mass, or if you go to the Vigil Mass this week, you'll see the first reading has four options that look at the way the Holy Spirit was moving in the lives of the people of Israel, the needs they had for the Holy Spirit. So we see the Tower of Babel and the division in the world that the Holy Spirit comes and repairs at Pentecost. And we see the Spirit descending upon the mountain with Moses and the Israelites at Mount Sinai. We see Ezekiel promising that the Holy Spirit can bring us to new life. And then we see Joel, who's prophesying that the Lord will pour his Spirit out upon all flesh. And that's the context for what's happening in Acts chapter 1, where the apostles are gathered in the upper room. And they're there, it says, when the time for Pentecost was fulfilled. Knowing as we do that Pentecost is the feast of the coming of the Holy Spirit, this can be confusing for us. This isn't referring just to the New Testament celebration of the Holy Spirit. The Pentecost celebrated the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. And so we see that reminder of the way the Holy Spirit was present to the Israelites on Mount Sinai. Now, the apostles were waiting there in the upper room. Having seen Jesus ascend to the Father, they were waiting for marching orders. They were waiting for the strength and wisdom that they didn't have without the Holy Spirit. Truly, they were afraid, locked in the upper room, unsure what the Lord was going to expect of them and how they were possibly going to fulfill his will. And then came the Holy Spirit. They were all there in one place together, and suddenly there came from the sky a noise like a strong driving wind, and it filled the entire house in which they were. Then there appeared to them tongues as of fire, like that fire that they saw in the desert that led them, the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud, which parted and came to rest on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim. And so we see here the Holy Spirit reversing the divisions that came at Babel. And what a beautiful thing it is that there at the first Pentecost, there were people of every tribe and tongue and region and nation. It says, we are Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the districts of Libya near Cyrene, as well as travelers from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. Look at all of the people represented there at the first Pentecost. From the moment of the birth of the church, God was calling all peoples to himself. We see there people from Africa, people from the Middle East. We see people who are called from every spot on this earth. And from the very beginning, the church was for everybody. The first African saint is Saint Simon of Cyrene, who helped Jesus carry his cross. Saint Thomas proclaimed the gospel in India in the year 52. Already in the book of Acts, before the conversion of Saint Paul, we have the story of the Ethiopian eunuch carrying the gospel back to the people of Ethiopia. And we see Lydia, the first European convert, bringing her household to Jesus as well. When we read about Pentecost, we need to be inspired to let the Holy Spirit move in our lives, to let the Holy Spirit bring new life, to let the Holy Spirit send us out as witnesses to the goodness of God. But we also need to recognize that Pentecost celebrates the birth of the church, which is for all people. What a gift to belong to a church that is in every nation, a church where Mass is being celebrated in every time zone, a church where you can walk in any country in this world, whether or not you speak the language, and know what's happening, know when we're at the consecration. It is an incredible thing that God has taken a world as divided as ours and given us a church that brings such unity in the midst of our diversity. And the Holy Spirit is who makes that possible when we allow him to move. There that day, the apostles were inspired to go out and proclaim the goodness of God, proclaim the death and resurrection of Jesus. And we don't read this in today's first reading, but you can sit down with Acts chapter 2 and you can see St. Peter, who was born with his foot in his mouth, St. Peter, who made one mistake after another in the Gospels, who now that he is filled with the Holy Spirit is so transformed that he preached a homily so powerful that 3,000 people were converted. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit strengthens us to be the men and women we were made to be. In the Psalm, it says, when you send forth your Spirit, they are created and you renew the face of the earth. In the Holy Spirit, we are made new. In the Holy Spirit, we come to life in a way that we cannot without the gift of God. And Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 8, our second reading from today. Paul says, you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption through which we cry, Abba, Father. It's the Holy Spirit who makes us sons and daughters of the Father. The Holy Spirit who comforts our heart and makes it possible for us to view God as our Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And then we have the sequence. And the sequence is a special liturgical moment that happens very rarely in the liturgical year. This is a hymn, an ancient hymn to the Holy Spirit. And it's worth sitting down, looking up the Pentecost sequence and sitting down together to study what it says about the Holy Spirit. Father of the poor, of comforters, the best, the soul's most welcome guest, grateful coolness in the heat. We see this Holy Spirit pouring out comfort and healing and joy in our hearts, melting our frozen hearts and warming us so that we can be filled with this fire that we see in Pentecost. And then finally, we see John telling us about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And John relates the way the Spirit was given to the apostles by Jesus in the upper room. John tells us that Jesus came to the apostles and he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you forgive are forgiven them and whose sins you retain are retained." Now we know that the Spirit makes it possible for us to be forgiven in the sacrament of confession. The Spirit is the one at work when God forgives us through Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the priest there is just an instrument. But it's worth recognizing that while in that moment, Jesus is giving them the capacity to forgive sins, he's also showing us that the Holy Spirit doesn't just enable priests to absolve sins in the confessional, but he also makes it possible for us to forgive. The Spirit comes into our hearts to make us new, to make us whole, to make us the people that we were made to be, to comfort us in times of distress, to strengthen us when we're weak, and to empower us to forgive, to be patient and joyful and peaceful and good, as the fruits of the Holy Spirit tell us. So this week, I want to invite you to ask the Holy Spirit to enter into your life most fully, to look at your life and say, "Lord, where am I holding back from letting you fill me? Where do I refuse to be set on fire with your love? Where do I refuse to be Christ in this world?" And ask the Holy Spirit to enter in. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Spirit, we thank you for dwelling within us. We thank you for the ways that you encourage and console and convict us. We thank you for strengthening us to run after the Father and to live in the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And we ask you this week to show us where we need to give you more control in our lives so that we might belong to you completely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There. Thanks for listening to Enkindle. You can access show notes and links to subscribe to this podcast at numinous.fm/Enkindle. My name is Meg Hunter-Kilmer. I am a missionary, an author, and a speaker and a storyteller. You can check out more about my books at saintsaroundtheworld.com. Or you can Google Hobo for Christ to learn a little bit more about my life and about the amazing things that the Lord has been doing for me.